You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Okay, we're back with Blake. We had to end early because we ran out of time last week.
I've been waiting all week for this.
Blake Opel-Wahoski is here.
Yeah.
Wahoski.
Welcome back, Blake.
Executive Director for the Marathon County Historical Society.
Ah, thanks for having me, guys.
He started last week.
Facts in history.
He gave Blake's top three factoids about Marathon County, and we ran out after number two. We ran out of time.
Yeah.
So back with number one. You want to recap number three and number two quick, Blake?
Yep. Number three was talking about famous people that came to Wausau, that being John F. Kennedy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's two, a big one.
Stayed at the Hotel Wausau.
Yeah, Hotel Wausau. Yeah. Very cool.
Uh-huh.
Now, landmark. Number two was one of the businesses that put Wausau on the map, Wausau Insurance.
Wausau Insurance. Yeah, big one. Yep. Yeah. Remember that? We talked about workers' comp, Wausau Insurance.
Yeah, and 60 minutes of commercials. Yeah.
Okay, now number one. We've been waiting all week for this, Blake.
Oh, Lord.
Number one.
On the edge of our seats.
The executive director of the Marathon County Historical Society with the number one most interesting factoid about Marathon County and specifically Wausau. Blake, what is it? Number one.
Okay. I'm not sure if it's the most interesting thing ever, but the original name was Big Bull Falls.
Okay.
And we got Wausau. That was named and it was championed by Walter McIndoe, the father of Wausau.
Oh, McIndoe Street.
McIndoe Street. He is the one that actually gave the name Wausau to the community.
No kidding.
Oh. Yes. Yep. So that comes off of the Chippewa and Ojibwe language, which means faraway place.
So he's the one that said, this is what we should name Wausau. We're going to name Wausau Wausau.
Yep.
We're going to change the name from Big Bull Falls or Bull Falls
to
Wausau.
Exactly.
Why did he want to change it?
Big Bull Falls, you know, was a little bit too descriptive for him. He wanted something a little bit more original and keeping with the indigenous people from the area.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we have Mr. McIndoe to thank for
that. Thank you, Mr. McIndoe.
I thought it was the first mayor of Wausau.
Kickbush.
August Kickbush. I thought he was the one responsible for naming it Wausau.
No. It was Walter McIndoe.
He was okay with Bull Falls.
Blake is here to set the record.
Okay. Thank you, Blake. Number one. Mr. McIndoe.
Thanks for coming back.
Well, Blake, speaking of coming back, you have to come back more often and give us more information about our area. We love hearing about it. So thanks a lot, Blake Opel-Wahoski, Executive Director for the Marathon County Historical Society.
Yeah, a lot of information there.
Good thing that wasn't a tie. Touchy subject with ties in the Packers.
Ugh, don't get me started.
Let's get into episode number 62, Paul.
Let's go.
Here we go. Serving Wausaunians. Well, you know, last year we did Rocktober.
We did.
This year, why don't we switch it up? It's Yacht Rocktober.
Okay.
Yacht Rock. Yacht Rocktober. The Wausau Business Show. And when you smile for the camera, I know I love you better. Hey, we'll come back to you.
In Berlin.
Hello, Mexico City.
They're all listening.
Hello, Tokyo. Tune in Tokyo. Hello, Istanbul.
Hello, Amsterdam.
Hello,
Sao Paulo.
Hello, Cape Town. This is the show broadcasting from the epicenter of Mother Earth. Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And we have a deluge of business information this week, Paul.
Can't wait. We're packed.
Granite Peak has some information coming out.
Yeah.
We hear. Channel 9.
Yeah, some big news out of the Newsline 9.
Not only is Owen Jones making a run at buying Channel 9 because it's for sale.
Yeah, we reported that a few weeks ago.
But there's some new news coming out of Channel 9.
Okay.
So business news. Then we've got Wausau business rumors up the yin yang this week.
Oh, you know I love those.
Wausau business rumors about the Jefferson Street Inn. Wausau business rumors about the lounge.
And we also got some big news about the H.T. Cobblery building in downtown Wausau.
Oh, finally, an answer.
One way
or the other.
For better or worse, I guess. We'll make that announcement coming up.
And Sean Leon. Is it Lion or Leon?
Let's go with Leon, since he's a chef.
He's a chef, and he's the general manager at Char in the Jefferson Street in Wausau.
Yeah, great place.
And he's got an event coming up that's going to benefit a whole bunch of local charities, starring celebrity chefs.
Oh, I love that.
Can't wait to hear about that. And who do we have as a guest on the show this week, Paul?
We're lucky enough to have world-renowned clinical psychologist Rick Smith. World-renowned, I said.
He's coming in from Hong Kong, wow, visiting Wausau to talk procrastination.
Yeah.
I guess that's his big field of study is he's a procrastination studier, specialist.
When he gets around to it.
And for adults and children, he specializes, I guess, in children with ADHD.
Yeah.
And
important
he's
work.
Tell us why children with ADHD might be misdiagnosed. It might be more of a procrastination issue or something like that, but he's going to talk about
He'll get into it for us. Yeah.
An executive chef from Red Eye, Nate Pashinsky, is coming up. Celebrity chef.
Celebrity, big time.
Celebrity chef.
Local celebrity.
Awesome guy.
Yeah, got a great story.
Ooh, and Taylor Swift has a new album out, Paul.
I heard.
And now with her rating on the new album by Taylor Swift, Wausau's biggest Taylor Swift fan. She's got
number one.
She's got the can koozie of Taylor Swift.
She's got a framed 1989 album outside her office.
She's wearing the t-shirt today.
Tracy, of course, is our Taylor Swift correspondent here at the Wausau Business Show.
Tracy?
Do I have to be closer?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know there's a Taylor Swift connection to Wausau, Tracy? Did you know that?
I know you have a very roundabout connection.
Little bit. Let's get into it. But what's the name of the album called?
The Life of a Showgirl.
The Life of a Showgirl. And how many times have you listened to it? Because I know when it comes out at midnight, every Taylor Swift album comes out at midnight. Tracy sets her alarm. She wakes up.
11.
No, 11. Yeah.
This one.
Eastern time. Midnight Eastern time.
And you wake up and you listen to it a couple times, right?
Well, I stayed awake to listen to it.
And?
What? Yeah. So I probably listened to it maybe four times.
Yeah. What's your favorite track?
I still like Honey.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Opal is growing on me, though. That's a good one, too.
Cool. And overall rating, what would you say out of five?
Out of five?
Oh. Five being the best.
Oh, God.
The old 1 to 5.
I know, right? I was going to go 9 out of 10.
So okay.
I can do that. 4.5.
Four and a half. 9 out of 10, though.
Yeah.
Not her best album.
What is her best album?
Well, every Swiftie has their own opinion. Mine is Reputation.
That's
still my favorite.
All right, Tracy's here, everybody. Thank you, Tracy, for your opinion.
Always a pleasure.
Let's get into the Wausau connection now to Taylor Swift. You ready? Are you excited?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
What's the connection?
Great question.
Thanks.
Thought you'd never ask.
That's what I'm here to do.
Mom?
Yeah?
It's Ryan and Paul.
Hi.
Hi, can you tell us, have you talked to Taylor Swift's dad lately?
No.
Why not?
I haven't. Well, because I'm up here. I haven't talked to him.
Oh, yeah. He's down in Florida, I guess.
Okay.
Florida and Oliver.
What's his name again?
Scott,
yeah. And how did you meet him?
I met him at a breakfast place down in Florida where we were at. And I was walking out and he started talking to me, or I was walking in and he was walking out and
like
he started talking to me. And then we went inside and we all sat together.
And then what? And then you started talking to him when you sat down?
Yep.
For how long?
For about an hour or more.
And that was before you knew.
And then he, you know, we still talk and stuff. Like when I get down there, I'll try calling him again.
And you text every once in a while, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long ago was this? I mean, was Taylor Swift yet?
Yeah, this was like last year.
Yes. Oh.
So then you start talking to him and having breakfast or whatever, and you didn't know that it was Taylor Swift's dad?
No. Until he said Scott Swift. Or Swift, and I said, what's your last name or whatever? And then I said, are you Taylor Swift? And he said, yes. Yep.
And you just believed him?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, how do you know it's true that it's really Taylor Swift's dad?
It's him because we have pictures and all that. And it's Scott, and we know that it's him because of the pictures with Taylor, and it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we wanted to kind of make sure that Taylor Swift knew that we were wishing her congratulations on her recent engagement to Travis Kelce.
Yeah, big news.
Yep.
You think you could pass that along?
Yep.
I don't suppose you want to give us Scott Swift's phone number, do you?
No.
No.
But didn't he give you like a Taylor Swift guitar pick at the end of your conversation with him?
Yes, I have several of them. Yeah. Oh.
So she has this like, and isn't he recently divorced?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, we have
what I heard.
Pretty good authority that he recently got divorced. Do you think he was hitting on you?
Oh.
God, Ryan.
You have to ask. I mean, he's a single guy.
Gee, Ryan.
That was like a few years ago, though, Ryan. Not now.
Okay. You know, yeah. Well, I think he's still divorced.
And
I don't think they got back together.
Okay. And he knows that I have Dick, you know?
You have Dick, yeah. So he was there alone?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was alone.
What a chance occurrence.
Yeah. But you talked to him for like an hour over breakfast or something. He was at his own table and you were at yours with Dick?
No, we all sat together.
You all sat together?
Oh.
Yes.
And
he
what's like
at
one
his own table. He was done walking out and then he came back in and talked to us. And he came back in and sat with us.
Hey, you look like a nice couple.
I'm gonna go back.
Can I talk to you?
Did he make the decision in the parking lot, turn back around and say, I got to talk to these people?
They look interesting.
No,
yeah.
But he goes to all the same restaurants and he's really down to earth. He's not nose up in the air. You would never know what, like, I didn't know what was Taylor Swift's dad,
yeah,
you know, like he was just really a nice guy. I didn't know.
What kind of small talk did you make with him?
I don't know. We were just talking about her and everything. And then, you know, about us and
yeah,
you know,
the weather.
Yeah.
Gee, Ryan,
pretty nice guy though, huh?
Yes, very nice.
That's good to hear.
And you're still on a texting basis with him. Did you mention that you're from Wausau, Wisconsin?
Well, I said Minocqua, Wausau.
Close enough.
Yeah. And do you think you could ask? Did you ask him if maybe Taylor Swift could come do a small, intimate acoustic show at the Grand Theater?
Ooh.
No, I didn't.
Can you ask him?
It would be nice. It would be nice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also have a couple nice churches in town that they could use for their wedding.
Yeah, the big day.
Ryan, that would be nice.
Yeah.
He would come up here, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I would want him to come in the summer, like, or now, not in the winter time.
Sure, he probably couldn't take that.
No.
Where is he from originally?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Somewhere south.
Isn't it Nashville?
Yeah, maybe. I would have to ask Dick. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right, though. Maybe you're right.
Maybe it is Nashville.
Well, the Swifties would know. We don't need to get into those details. Well, the next time you talk to him, Mom, can you tell him that your son Ryan and his co-host Paul said hello?
Please.
Okay.
And invite him to come to Wausau, Wisconsin with Taylor.
Oh, God, Ryan.
I think it's worth an ask, Mary.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Are we still your favorite radio host of all time?
Yes.
Okay. Aww. Just checking, making sure still. Okay.
Yep,
love you, Mom.
Yep. Love you. Bye.
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 Well, isn't that something? We got a connection to Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Wausau, Wisconsin, Taylor Swift, capital of the world.
Yeah. We keep proving it over and over and over again.
And, you know, it's getting to the fall season, Paul. So,
right.
Motorcycling season is coming to an end.
Motorcycle culture is big around here.
How many miles you put on this year?
Well, that's easy. Zero.
Fall ride? Easy for you to compute.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go to fall ride?
I didn't.
A couple weeks ago? No.
It's not really my thing, but I know it's a lot of people's thing.
Yeah, you got to ask, you know, if you meet a farmer.
Right.
You ask.
Yeah, how many head?
How many head you got?
Right. I know that.
You meet some guy that rides a motorcycle.
That's when you say how many miles you put on.
How many miles you put on this year.
Yeah, they do that in sledding, I call it, too. Snowmobiling.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Let's see. I know a guy that's a big rider.
Okay.
Let's see. I got to check in with him.
Okay.
He went to Fall Ride, did that all, you know.
Up in Tomahawk?
Yeah, he used to drive Harleys. He used to ride Harleys, and now he's got like an Indian.
Oh, yeah, that brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
We'll get him on the horn.
Yeah, let's get him on the horn.
Active day on the phone for us.
Yeah. Got a quick question for you. How many miles did you put on this summer?
Ooh.
How many miles what?
How many miles
did you... You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, how many miles did you put on this summer?
I feel like you guys are recording me from something for the radio.
You don't know how many miles you put on?
Every motorcyclist knows how many miles they put on.
I put on about 6,000 miles this year.
Knew it. Told ya.
That's a lot.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. All right. We're doing a survey.
Yeah. Proves my point. They all know it.
Yeah. They all know right away how many miles they put on.
You want me to try another one?
Yeah. Let's compare. Is 6,000 a lot or not? I don't know.
Let's see. Let me try another one.
Okay.
Another one of my friends that is in the motorcycle.
You got a lot of biker friends.
Let's see.
Good for you. I wish I had a lot of biker friends.
Let's see here. Here we go. Let's see.
Looking through the Rolodex.
Compare.
Yeah. 6,000 up against 6.
Hey, quick question about motorcycling, okay? How many miles did you put on this year?
Probably 6 to 8, somewhere in there, I guess. We're going to go this weekend, so then we'll put on another 200-300. So we're taking the bikes up north.
All right. Thank you.
That's it?
Yep, that's it.
All right.
They all know.
That's it?
You want me to try one more?
So 6 to 8. Let's call it 8.
This guy probably won't answer.
But I love that you have a Rolodex full of bikers.
My biker gang friends. They're all in Hell's Angels. Did I mention that?
Oh, boy. Yeah, if anyone else wants to tell us how many miles they can beat 8,000, call into 1715-WASA and let us know.
1715-9-WASA.
Thank you. Nope, we got a caller.
Hey, you're on the WASA Business Show. How many miles did you put on your bike this year, Mark?
Like probably around 10,000.
Ooh.
10,000.
We got a winner. Yeah. We got a winner. All right. Nice, Mark.
Did you go up to Fall Ride?
I did not go up to Fall Ride. I was in Madison competing at a tattoo convention.
Oh, okay. I heard you you might have won.
The winner.
I won in one contest that weekend. I took first place.
Yeah, and you're WASA's favorite tattoo artist.
Yeah.
So congratulations there, Mark.
Good job.
Marked up tattoos. In the old Western Village. You given anybody a Red Lobster tattoo lately?
Not lately, no.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
You know what they call the Fall Ride at the Aspyrus emergency room, don't you, Paul?
Oh, no. At the emergency room? No. Yeah. What do they call it?
You know,
yeah, it happens.
Dangerous.
It comes with inherent danger. I think they all accept that danger when they get on the bike, the hog, if you will.
Fall Ride weekend up in Tomahawk at the ER at the Aspyrus, they call Trauma Hawk.
Oh, boy.
There's always something going on.
I don't mean
you
to
know?
Laugh, but
it's not, you know, it's pretty serious.
So they're on guard, waiting, ready, willing to help. And
it happens in Tomahawk, but they call it Trauma Hawk at the ER at Spyrus. It's fun being on a bike. You ever ridden a motorcycle?
Once, maybe.
It's awesome. I can understand why people love it. They love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's dangerous, man.
It's dangerous.
Well, thanks to all those doctors and everyone in the ER, because that can come in handy on a weekend like that.
And all of our first responders out there in Wazoo.
Absolutely.
All right, coming up, Nate Bashinsky, executive chef at Red Eye, plus world-renowned psychologist who's visiting Wausau, Rick Smith, and Sean Leone, manager at Char Restaurant in downtown Wausau.
Yeah.
Hang on, Wausau.
Yacht Rocktober. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga,
WASA Business Show.
What does it take to run a successful business? It takes incredible courage to start at the beginning, incredible grit to achieve success, incredible determination to sustain results, and incredible perseverance to leave a legacy. But most importantly, it takes an incredible local partner dedicated to helping you achieve your goals. At Incredible Bank, we are that partner. Let us help your business do the incredible. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
Cause WASA Business Show. Cause there's music in the air and lots of loving everywhere. So give me the night. Give me the night.
100% pure WASA. It's the WASA Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And here we are with Sean Leone from Char and Jefferson Street Inn. Is it Lion or Leone?
I mean, if it's in France, it's Leon.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, here it's Lion.
Just funny that all the premier chefs of the world are kind of born and raised in Lyon, France, or educated there, aren't they?
Right. It's coincidence, I feel.
It's just total coincidence.
No, like, it was meant to be.
A kid 100%. Named Milwaukee getting into brewing.
Yeah, right. Right. Has to.
So, Sean, you've got the Central Wisconsin Chef Gala. You're the food and beverage director at Char and the Jefferson Street Inn, and you're putting this event together, the Central Wisconsin Chef Gala. What's the date of it again?
Saturday, November 15th.
And you're starting to sell out and get tickets, and a lot of celebrity chefs are coming to cook, right? Which ones?
Central Wisconsin celebs. Right now, I have even some mixologists, too. So, the people from Juliet.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. They the make best. A great cocktail.
Best Absolutely. In town.
Yeah.
Juliet and our banquet crew, they're going to do the cocktail hour.
Awesome.
Starts at about 4:45.
Okay. All right.
And happy hour.
Yeah. Absolutely. Happy hour snacks. I actually have the sous chef from Red Eye, Jacob.
Nice.
My sous chef and char, Rachel. I have all the chefs from Burokogi. They're like an Asian fusion place.
Nice. Got to try that place out.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
A little small place.
Yeah, okay.
And then I got Maggie and the girls over at Milk Merchant.
Ooh. Oh, Milk Merchant, a favorite of ours.
Yeah, Maggie does a great job.
Yeah. So they're doing a big cheese spread amongst other things. So yeah, we got some cocktail hour apps and some cocktails going on.
Very cool.
After that, 4-course dinner. Nate from Red Eye is going to do kind of like a small shared plate.
He's good.
Wow, Nate, one of the best in town, if not the best.
Yeah, right up there, man.
I'm just kidding.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Top two.
Those are fighting words.
Top two.
Nate and I were cool. He's an awesome dude. And honestly, he's a big reason why we're doing this, too.
Yeah. Cool.
Adam from Chow. He's putting on some noodles.
Chef Adam. Okay. Yeah. Famous for cooking for Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's going to be me and my sous chef, Tim. We're going to be putting on, I think we're going to do venison.
Oh, very wow. Cool. Good time of the year for it.
Yeah. It's the weekend before hunting season kicks off. So
why not?
Very cool.
And then Chef Travis and all the NTC culinary instructors are doing probably the world's best dessert, I'm assuming.
Also one of the best in town.
What a lineup.
You guys are the best chefs in the area. I mean, that's a hell of a lineup. Yeah.
Yeah, we try. It's going to be annually, too. So next year, it'll probably rotate different people. There's just a lot of good stuff going on. So we just wanted to highlight that for sure.
For sure. And I mean, Char has had a lot of turnover in the past number of years. You know, it used to be the
City Grill.
City Grill.
Yeah. And then it was Benvenuto's at City Grill.
That's right.
Yeah, noodles and steak.
So several iterations of the restaurant.
But it's the best it's been in 15 years, I agree. At least, if not ever.
Yeah. I mean, they went through some stuff, as every place does, being kind of in central Wisconsin, too. It's not as hospitality friendly for career choices as, say, Milwaukee or Madison.
Sure.
Right.
It takes some time for the good people to get up here. But I mean, even look at Nate. He was from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He came back and he's rocking it. Everybody else is kind of cooked all over, too.
Yeah, we got a good scene.
Yeah, I think we do, too. Especially with the condos and everything being built.
Yeah.
2026 is going to be pretty killer.
Yeah. So who does this event benefit?
Yeah, absolutely. So it actually goes to, I think, some three great causes. It's going to go first and foremost towards the United Way Hunger Coalition.
Nice.
Yeah. They work on getting, you know, families that can't really afford too much food or, you know, food pantries to get some farm fresh food and not so much just Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah, love it. Healthy. So Ben Lee is the new executive director over at the United Way.
Yeah, we had them in and they have quite the story. So that's awesome. Okay. That's benefiting them.
Cool.
So they'll be sharing their story too as well. Help the House. So that's something that Nate is really passionate about too. He kind of turned me onto that as well. It's kind of an organization that helps with like mental health or access to just resources for people in this industry.
Okay. Specifically in this industry.
Correct.
In the hospitality industry.
Yeah. I mean, serving other people, sometimes you forget to serve yourself.
Very cool.
So they kind of work on that for people, which is nice.
Very important.
I'm working with Travis. We're going to start to, you know, set up a scholarship too. So
for NTC?
Correct.
Yeah.
For all the culinary students, because I think of it like being a Jedi. You need that next generation of Jedis. Otherwise, this industry is not going to be a thing.
May the force be with you.
Very cool.
Or the forks.
There you go.
May the forks be with you.
Paul, you're not quick enough.
I know.
So our goal is to raise $15,000. So $5,000 each. When you purchase a ticket, you also have the option to just tack on an extra donation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of people who do that. So I'm thinking we're going to raise more than $15,000, which would be nice.
Very cool. How many tickets you got left?
Our cap is 225 for the first time.
Okay.
We're at like 156 right now.
Oh, and a decent amount of time to go.
100%.
It'll sell out though, I'm sure.
Yeah. So two other things like...
Sooner than later get them, you know?
Yeah. Some other things too that are pretty cool. We have David Calloway. He's going to be our MC throughout all that.
David Anthony Calloway.
He's a good dude. So he'll be the ringleader of everything. And then we also have a live band, the Point of Jazz Quintet.
Cool.
So it's made of all like some old school UW Stevens Point graduates. They do a lot of moderns and classic stuff too. So
perfect.
It's going to kind of be a big black tie event.
So there'll be nice jazz music in the background live.
Correct.
Yeah. Formal dinner. Pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Very
love
cool,
it, man.
Sean. Yeah. Way to contribute. I think that you're doing a hell of a job and this will be the first annual.
Correct.
And then you plan on raising $15,000 or more every year.
Yep.
So we hear a Wausau business rumor and not to put you on the spot, but the Jefferson Street Inn might be being sold.
Oh boy.
Okay. Oh, we put him on the spot.
Well, you don't need to answer that. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Sean Leone.
If you guys have any other questions, if you go and visit Wausau's website or our Facebook, there's QR codes kind of everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right. Or visit Wausau.com.
Yep, absolutely.
Sean Leone.
Sean Leone, there you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
Thanks, Jens. Sean. Appreciate
you.
Wausau Business Show.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to the Heartbeat of Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show. All I want to do in the middle of the evening is hold you tight. Rosanna, Rosanna, I didn't know you were looking for more than I could ever be.
Get the sunscreen out. Let's go yachting.
Here we go. It's Yacht Rocktober.
Yep.
It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And you're you. Thank you for listening.
We're here.
And now Nate Bashinsky.
Oh, Nate.
Red Eye Executive Chef.
Come on in, buddy.
It's Bashinsky, right?
Bashinsky, yeah.
Bashinsky.
Yeah. Bashinsky.
It's Wisconsin.
The Chicago for Bashinsky from the South Side.
Yeah. Nate Bashinsky, executive chef for Red Eye.
Oh.
Red Eye Brewing. What's up, Nate?
Just for you, Will Wright.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Wow, this is a real honor. One of Wausau's celebrity chefs.
That's right.
The way that we like to position it. Yeah. So how many years have you been with Red Eye now?
I've been with Red Eye for over 11 years now.
That is wild.
It's been a long run.
And you go there when, you know, on a cold Wisconsin night when Granite Peak is firing on all cylinders and you'll wait for an hour at Nate's restaurant.
A Saturday night is an hour wait.
At least.
A lot of people's favorite restaurant in town. Many people's favorite restaurant in town. What brought you into the field of wanting to be a chef, Nate?
To be honest, you know, I really didn't know what I was going to do when I was coming out of high school. And I always cooked for my friends when we would kind of be hanging out late at night. And that just kind of drove me to think about what I wanted to do. And so cooking just kind of was the forefront. I didn't really want to be sitting at a desk. And I was like, let's go to culinary school. It just kind of happened.
So you went to culinary school before you had a job in the...
Yeah, I had never worked in the industry. And that was kind of blindsided me a little bit. The first like semester at school was kind of fun. And then I had baking. And then I actually thought about quitting culinary school. And
baking will do that to you.
Yeah. And so then I had a buddy of mine now, a great friend. He was like, hey, next semester, let's just do back-to-back cooking classes. And it'll be like a normal shift in a restaurant. And we did that. And I never left. So I had a great opportunity with him. I had a great opportunity with Adam Jam Goshen, now of Chow, but at Michael's. A long time ago.
Oh, you worked at Michael's.
I worked at Michael's for about a year with him and Keith. So they taught me a lot of the fundamentals to be where I am at today.
Yeah, he's got a hell of a background too.
He does.
Yeah, man. You guys, he's another celebrity chef in town. Yeah. So who do you look up to in town besides Chef Adam?
Chef Adam has kind of been one of the guys, you know,
real
Chef
mentor.
Travis.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that have been around Wausau since I started my career.
Yeah, wow. So you're classically trained.
Classically trained. So in Minneapolis.
Culinary Institute of America? Is that what it was?
It was the Art Institutes International of Minnesota Culinary Arts.
Yeah, very cool.
Was there like a specialty, Italian, French, or was it just kind of...
It was just kind of a, you know, the school about culinary arts, all the basics and stuff. And I was lucky enough to get a couple jobs over there after I had worked at Michael's for a while. So
yeah, because you know the people that have the distinction of having the top restaurants in the United States right now rated.
Sure, yeah.
And they're both Hmong?
Yes, they are. Yeah, so Diane Mua and Yia Vang both are running some amazing restaurants. One's Diane's Place and Yia's is Vinai, and it's just amazing food.
And they're both in, both in Minneapolis.
Correct, yeah.
And you were saying that with both of them, are they Hmong cuisine inspired? Like the menus are Hmong focused?
You bet, yeah. Wow, so they're showing their culture and their heritage and honestly using ingredients from both of their parents' farms to create their menu. So it's just really an amazing thing.
Can you talk about, like, I know that those best restaurants that get that rating often, like, everything on the menu and the whole concept of the restaurant always has a story behind it, it seems like. And I guess that's true with them, too. Like, you know, their family heritage and everything like that. Does Red Eye subscribe to that belief, too? Like,
I would say so. You know, I mean, I think that if you think about, like, my heritage, it would be being from Wausau, Wisconsin.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I left the community for about 10 years to go learn under some really amazing chefs that had a lot of talent and had a lot of knowledge to share with me. And I was able to bring that back to Wausau. And so
boomerang back.
I've been fortunate enough to have an amazing staff front and back of the house. They, you know, are in there grinding every day. And it's just really amazing to have their support.
How long has your team worked together?
So the core of the team, anywhere from, some of them have actually been there longer than myself, but the core of the team is anywhere from probably day one at Red Eye, which is almost 18 years.
Wow.
To from when I started, maybe they've been there from anywhere from, you know, 8 to 10 years. So,
because the primary owner, what's his name again?
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin there. He used to be the brewmaster at
the Hereford and Hops.
Hereford and Hops.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
I always want to say Great Dane, but it was before that,
yes,
right?
Yep.
And then he left Hereford and Hops to go start Red Eye?
To start Red Eye, correct.
And how did you wind up meeting him?
So I was in Boulder, Colorado at the time. And
it comes back to Colorado. Didn't Adam Jem Goshen have a connection to Colorado too?
He was in Boulder too, I think. Yeah.
And so I made the phone call and the timing kind of just worked out with when I spoke with Kevin and also with us, my wife and I kind of thinking about moving back home. And so we 2 months later packed up and came back home.
And then you've been working there ever since.
And working there ever since. And so what I brought with me for, you know, getting back to that heritage is, you know, farm to table. I did not think that the farms that we have here, I was going to come back to that. And it's amazing. I've been lucky enough to work with Kat at Cattail and Stacy and Tenzin at Red Door. I've been lucky enough to work with Tony down at White Feather and Tony at Stony Acres.
Yeah, wow.
And I've had a relationship with all these farmers for probably 9 to 10 years.
Yeah, you're a celebrity chef in town. They're celebrity farmers in town.
Yeah, right.
They are celebrity farmers.
Seriously, yeah.
They bring the good stuff. So.
Well, you know, Kat, didn't she go to Harvard or something?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
You ever heard of that? Harvard, Paul? And now she runs a farm and kicks ass and takes names. And a lot of the ingredients on your menu come from their farms.
Exactly.
All of it?
I wouldn't say all of it. We buy as much as we can when we can, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So
depends what's in season and things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that I try to bring back to this area too, is just the seasonality of food. Cooking things when they're in season, you're going to have a better flavor and it's going to be a lot better plate. So
yeah. Did you make a lot of changes when you came on board at Red Eye?
I did. We kind of overhauled a lot of things. Some of them, you know, we got kicked back. That happens. Mm-hmm. People like a lot of the stuff that they've had before. And over the years, you know, people have really been accustomed to being open with all the things that do change. We have a chef's menu that changes anywhere from once a week to once a month, depending on the different items or the supply that we have of them. And so it's pretty great to have that flexibility, and also really just have the community support to come in and support our staff, support our thought process with food, and it just keeps everything going. It's
and you amazing. Make a hell of a pizza, if
Thank
I may.
You. The, yeah. the wood-fired oven helps
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah. yeah, that's best pizza in town, I'd say. No offense, Sam's.
you, I grew up on that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Love it. So what's the most important thing about being a chef in general, would you say?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know, I think the most important thing about being a chef is to have an open mind. Definitely over the years, I've learned to have patience and also just be supportive. You know, we all work in an environment that is, it's hot, it's stressful, it's fast paced. And, you know, we all have a lot of things going on outside of our job. Things, it's just really tough to deal with. So mm-hmm. it's really good to have someone that, you know, is able to talk to. And sometimes I talk to my employees about stuff I've got going on versus them coming to me to talking to me about stuff. And it's been a very good relationship that I've got with my family or family of restaurant workers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it is interesting because, you know, like Paul and I work together and we work on a team every day. But it's not like we're in a kitchen for hours on
Usually.
A team, right? Every day. And I mean, you're really working to create something every day with that team, which is a lot different than, you know, just typical other types of office work, for example, or whatever.
Not your typical 9 to 5.
There's got to be a lot of ups and downs and emotion that goes along with that.
There are. Yeah. I mean, even with a lunch rush, you know, and then it slows down maybe for the afternoon and then you've got to pick yourself back up for dinner service can be a challenge.
Yeah.
And that's what coffee's for.
How many turns do you get like for dinner service? Is
like- you know, if it's a really busy dinner service, we'll do anywhere from 3 or 4 turns, I guess. And that can kind of be the same with lunch, like 2 to 3. Saturdays are kind of crazy at Red Eye. So if you want to get something off the chef's menu on a Saturday, you just come early and you'll probably be okay.
And yeah, talk to us about how you design, you know, the specials, because I think one of the things that you're most known for is a lot of the chef's menu and the specials, because you're always switching it up. And I know the people that go there the most, which is at least once a week or more, they're always like, oh, I just ordered the special. I always just ordered a special because it's different. And you're always like being creative with that. What inspires you? Because you're creating different dishes all the time, which is unique, because it's like some restaurants you go to and the menu doesn't change.
Sure. And I think the great thing about it is that we do have our staple menu. So if you are looking for something that you're familiar with, or you just have like a craving for a margarita pizza or whatever, we've got it. And it's going to be there. It's not going to go away.
Yeah.
But then if you do want something spontaneous or you want something different that you never had, that's where the chef's menu does come in. And the great thing about that is, one, we're able to utilize as many of the vegetables or proteins or fruits that the farms have around here that are in season. And then also the great thing for the kitchen is that we've got new dishes to work on and new ideas to use, and also just, you know, kind of be creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to like come in and you don't know what you're going to, you know, do, or do you just keep like a library of possible dishes that you could do? Or is it like, okay, I gotta figure this out today, right now?
It could go both ways. Yeah. I will say, you know, with my first 5 to 6, 7 years there was a little bit more, what do we have? Let's make something happen.
Yeah.
And now we've got some great seasonal dishes that we've had a lot of people ask to bring back. So we do just kind of keep them as like a library card where it's a seasonality thing. And we've got certain dishes that we bring back. But then there's also, you know, we want to have some fun and do something different. So we're going to, you know, then that becomes to where we have an actual like planning of what dishes do we want to do. We want to use certain proteins. And so we do create new dishes as well. It kind of just depends.
How far ahead are you thinking? Like in my mind, I'm thinking, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I got to come up with something tonight. But are you planning pretty far ahead?
It could go that also. You know, there are times where we've got some extra stuff and we need to use it up before it might, it's you stale. Know, go
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
So we'll create a dish that day. Also, you know, so that way we're able to use it within the week that it might have for a show. Life. But then also like we do plan with the farmers, and certain ingredients they're going to let me know 2 weeks in advance that these are going to be ready, you know, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah,
be ready, and then we'll make sure that we've got something kind of thought up for whatever they're going to be bringing in.
What's the favorite dish you've ever put on the menu?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Who's your favorite child?
You know, it's tough. I would say that I can't really answer that. I would say that being able to highlight everything that we have in our community as far as proteins, whether it's chicken, beef, lamb, vegetables, fruits, that is like my favorite thing that I put on the menu is highlighting what can be grown around our area and can be utilized in a kitchen.
As local as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
The food reflects the community.
It does.
Yeah.
Cool.
Who's somebody interesting that you've cooked a meal for?
Monica Lewinsky?
Not Monica Lewinsky.
Chef Adam said he cooked a meal for Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton. Clinton one time.
Okay.
When he was working in D.C.
I don't have a
Bill Clinton. Can't beat that.
Let's see. I know that Kathy Griffin was one. Star Trek. Oh, I can't think of his
Neil
name.
Shatner?
No.
Bill Shatner.
Bill Shatner?
Yeah. Or Sulu. What's his name? George Takei.
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, okay.
So he had muscles on
Picard.
The
in, Captain Picard.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
In Wausau?
In Boulder.
Okay.
He always came there for the Renaissance tour.
Okay.
Came through.
Yeah.
Renaissance weekend. So, and there's probably a few more in there, but.
Yeah. What about at Red Eye? The mayor's?
Red Eye, I did.
Doug Dinney?
Actually had a pretty fun experience last year and went to, he's no longer with the Packers, but we went to Kenny Clark's house and for him, Romeo Doubs, and Rashawn Gary. So,
Paul, yeah. you love Romeo Doubs' helmet, don't you?
Yeah, did he wear that big giant helmet?
Hey, you can see him in the end zone.
Like a good visual for Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest, has there been a total disaster in all of your years at Red Eye ever?
Total disaster.
Just a cringeworthy event, or does that not happen?
I don't think that necessarily happens. I would say the dishwasher may have gone down on a Saturday night.
And there's never been a night
that's not fun.
But it's never been a night where it's like, 10% of everything's coming back to the kitchen. What's going on?
Or everyone got sick the next day.
Yeah, that does. I don't think that really happens.
No. Remember when that happened with Pedro's and they were out of business in like 2 months?
I think it was hepatitis.
Everybody got hepatitis.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. No, that was back in the 90s.
God rest its soul.
Yeah. But Nate, what do you mean? You are one of the foremost and preeminent chefs in town. What?
No doubt about it.
What's your favorite thing about cooking for the people of Wausau? Would you say?
I think the best thing about cooking for this city is bringing people together for celebrations and for sometimes hardships, and they're able to get some comfort. They're able to have a smile. They're maybe able to have a memory from when they were a kid with maybe an ingredient that they're eating. For me, you know, it's like raspberries. If my first raspberry of the year, it reminds me of my grandmother.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's the most important part is being able to nourish the community with great food and, you know, bring people together. And I think the great thing that we do at Red Eye is that we have something for everyone. If you want to just have a sandwich, you can just have a sandwich. If you want to have a venison strip loin, sometimes we have that in the winter.
That's cool.
You can maybe add truffles. So
we'll
do things like that when we can. And it's really great to be able to kind of make sure that everybody is able to come to Red Eye and have a meal.
Yeah. Very you cool. mentioned that about grandmothers. I was on a work trip one time, I think maybe in Tennessee or somewhere. And I walked into this restaurant and the smell of the entire restaurant smelled like my grandmother's kitchen when I was growing up.
Sure.
You know, it was the food and the smell of it and it's so emotional.
It's that ratatouille moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's incredible how much people connect with all the emotions of food and the stories behind it. So what's your future? I mean, you hoping to, you know, continue to build upon Red Eye and go from there? Or
what? Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we just want to continue to give back to our community. And I think the best way to do that is to stay steadfast and continue to work with the farms and continue to build our community a stronger relationship with food. That's just, that's important to me, and that's what I want to continue to do.
Yeah. Well, you're doing WASA proud. Yeah. We're big fans for sure.
I know you work with the United Way Hunger Coalition a lot.
Correct, yeah.
And one of the things that was interesting, because I know Kat from Cattails Farm, she gives a great speech every year at that Hunger Coalition event, and she talks about how kids, they don't need to eat processed food. They can have fresh ingredients in their food, and that's what the Hunger Coalition does, and you're very involved with that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really important. I mean, I am, the processed food thing is kind of got out of control in this country. Yeah. And
now it's called, now they have ultra processed food, I heard.
Yeah. Oh man. I don't even know what that is, right. But it doesn't sound good.
Somehow beyond processed.
Yeah. You got processed food and now you have ultra processed food. Right. Okay.
So I think that, you know, having real food is bar none the most important thing.
Yeah.
It's going to help people grow into adults. It's going to help their brain development. Yeah. It just helps everything. You're nourishing that body with real vitamins and just real food, which just, you know, it's a win-win.
How did you meet your wife? You mentioned...
Well, so we went to high school together. She's also from WASA.
Okay.
All right. And,
which high school?
West.
Okay.
Yeah. Go Warriors.
Yeah. And she had moved to Minneapolis. I was already living there. And it was just kind of like a, hey, let's get together for, you know, a meet. It'd be nice to see a familiar face.
Yeah.
We weren't super like good friends or anything like that in high school. And so that was our first date. And I made a good impression. We went to Brit's Pub. And ever since then.
What date did you first cook for her on?
I think our first date.
Oh,
That's a way to get them.
That's it.
So,
she fell in love.
Do you remember what you made?
It was a great night. It was not very good, in my opinion.
Venison loin?
Okay. Truffles? Like some shrimp dish with pasta or something like that.
But. I would have gone with oysters. But.
Yeah. Wow. And she is she in the industry?
She's not in the industry. She could be if she wanted to be. Wow. But,
is that hard? Like the hours? Everybody always talks about
right holidays, nights.
Yeah, it can be. It can be difficult. But we've created a system that works really well for us.
Okay.
And I think that's the biggest thing. Is you know you've got to figure out a way to you know have your time. And I think the biggest thing, you know, relationship or not, is just having balance in life when you work in a kitchen. And if you can find balance, that can help your mental health, that can help your relationship health, and just, you know, overall your well-being. And I think that's something that over the years at Red Eye, we've really figured out is making sure that people aren't overworking. And I mean, it's still like Saturdays are still a long day, don't get me wrong, but we've made it so that everybody's got a weekend there, and that's really important.
Yeah, yeah. Balance, Paul. You got to remember that.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm working on my balance.
Nate, what's your favorite thing about WASA?
Oh, you know, I do like the fact that WASA, it has a lot to offer.
Yeah.
Not only is there a great cycling community here, which is something that's important to me, but it's also a city that is growing and, you know, really trying to create a wonderful place. And in my time gone from when I left for college to when I came back 11 years or about 10 years later, WASA changed tremendously and still continues to do that. I lived in a city. I still travel to cities and they're a lot of fun. I appreciate architecture. I appreciate everything that there is to a city. But when I come back home, there's something about it being just a little bit slower and being able to kick your feet up at the end of the day. It's really nice to be in a place where you're not hearing a siren every, you know, 5 seconds.
Oh, man.
I like Nate's take on life. Kick your feet up and stay balanced.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's important.
This is one of the most successful restaurateurs in WASA.
And it turns out very philosophical.
Yeah. Kick your feet up and stay in balance.
Right.
Amen to that. Well, whatever happened to those bikes? Didn't the guy that loaned all the cool old bikes to Red Eye that were hanging,
Up on the,
he took them back or what happened there?
Well, he passed away.
Okay.
So that's kind of what happened there.
And then what the
bikes went away.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. Okay. Like symbolically almost.
Yeah, it was kind of symbolic. Exactly.
They had to bury them with the...
that may have been what happened.
He wanted them with him. Okay.
Yeah, they were really cool bikes because it was kind of a bike culture in there when you got in there. But
are there any left?
There's still a few.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There's still a few. Yeah.
And Nate, you're participating in the Chef Gala coming up too.
Correct. Yeah.
That's really great. And we look forward to going to that. That's coming up in a few weeks.
Sean was here from Char.
Yeah. And he's putting that together, and that benefits a bunch of great organizations in the area. So thanks for stopping by. Nate Bashinsky, we got to get into your kitchen at some point.
We'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just keep them red eye, everybody.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, Nate. Here at home, we'll play in the city. I would buy the sun. Perfect weather for a streamlined world. There'll be spandex jackets, one for everyone. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be.
Of Scott Street Steak and Pub to the beer at Dave's Bolado. This is the Wausau Business Show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
Hey folks, this is Charlie Behrens. Our Cripescast is coming up at noon on Bull Falls Radio. Now back to the Wausau Business Show with your cheese curd brained hosts, Ryan and Paul, served with a nice side of ranch dressing. All right, Wausau, I love you so much. I'll be back soon, and hey, watch for deer, okay? Bye-bye now.
I wouldn't mind hearing some Christopher Cross myself.
Metroplex.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
It's a Metroplex, Paul.
It is.
This is the Wausau Business Show. It's Ryan and Paul here at your service.
We're here.
And now world-renowned psychologist from Hong Kong, Rick Smith.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, welcome.
Long voyage.
Welcome to Wausau. What do you do in Hong Kong, Rick?
I work with kids. I work as a psychologist.
He's a PhD or a doctorate of what?
Of clinical psychology and a doctorate of education.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And what's your specialty then? Because you're a published author.
ADHD is ADHD. The main thing I work with.
I have that.
Yes, he does.
Noticed.
Is that a clinical diagnosis at this point?
Yeah. So we've brought Rick in as a clinical psychiatrist to kind of psychoanalyze me and Paul. How can we make the show better, and how can we be better human beings, would you say, Rick, as a doctor?
Well, I have to say psychologist. A psychiatrist prescribes meds, and if you don't know the difference, congrats. Your life has been amazing.
Okay.
So far. It's
I've never been prescribed prescription medication for my psychosis, but I probably should.
No. Look, you guys, it's such a good community. You have friends. You have great weather a couple months a year. You do stuff. Like, that's really what you need. You need to be able to connect with people and exercise, which you guys could probably both do.
More of.
Who couldn't?
Yeah.
Who couldn't?
Yeah. And what's your book titled?
Yeah, it's ironic. It's called Stop Reading. And my first doctorate was about was in education. It was about kids with dyslexia who hated reading. And I wanted to come up with a way to help them read better. And it's on Amazon. And it sells a lot in Japan, apparently.
Oh,
but
you're big in Japan.
Yeah.
This is Rick Smith. He's from Tampa, Florida. He lives in Hong Kong, but he's huge in Japan.
yeah. And then when I learned about dyslexia, one of the things I learned is that kids with ADHD often get diagnosed as having dyslexia because they just get distracted when they're reading, and then they don't actually have dyslexia. They just can't seem to pay attention from the top of the page to the bottom of the page. They forget what they were reading. That was interesting. And then I learned a lot more about ADHD, and that's what I started specializing in.
And then there's a certain component of your research, correct me if I'm wrong, that has to do with procrastination?
Yeah.
And in children or in people in general?
In people in general. as a behavior.
Okay,
avoidance as a behavior.
Avoidance.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And what is the key insight there about people that procrastinate a lot?
For people that procrastinate, procrastination isn't a problem. It's a solution for them, and it's solving mm-hmm. other problems. I think another insight for me was there's really no such thing as being unmotivated. It's really like there's just competing motivation. So, you know, sometimes kids in particular, they want to play with their iPad or see their friends. They also want to be good in school and do their work. They just want to do one more than the other. So they feel unmotivated about school, but they're actually not. It's just, they have other things that they like doing.
So when somebody procrastinates,
it's a solution for them.
And it's a consequence of something else?
Avoidance. Yeah. Something else they don't want to do.
So they prioritize just differently.
Yeah. So people use like busyness as a form of, productivity, but it's not really productive to be busy all the time. But they'll be busy and they'll feel like they're being productive, but they're really putting off a lot of other mm-hmm. more important work.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot at Rocket Industrial, where it's easy to be busy. It's easy to be busy. It's harder to be productive.
Right. Keep a focus on what you actually need to be doing, what's important.
We talk about motion. The motion part's easy. It's like the difference between a horsey on a rocking chair and a horse that you're actually on moving forward.
Right.
Motion versus progress. And that was actually a big thing for Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. And he had posters all up around his Facebook office when they first started of rocking chairs, because their point was not just motion, but progress.
Yeah, it's hard to remember what's really important for people. And then mm-hmm. when they do remember what's really important, sometimes it's like they want to avoid that thing because they don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
So I can't mess it up if I don't do it.
So what do your clients what does your body of clients consist of?
Kids and their parents. But kids are really reflections of their parents. So the parents will bring their kid in like, hey, fix them. Mm-hmm. That's not how this works. And so then I end up working with the parent. And,
wow.
You know,
you fix the parent.
Well, we fix the relationship between them.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a third thing.
You know, with the parents coming in and being like, fix my kid.
It is.
It feels like that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes the kid is just a substitute for the problems in their own life. They mm-hmm. don't want to deal with their own, like, they've given up their friendships. They've given up working out. And they bring their kid in and they say, my kid's got all these issues. But it's really like the kid's fine. The kid's just like kind of feeding off what the parents are giving.
Right. Yeah. But prior to that, you worked in Moscow 12, 13 years ago before it got weird with Moscow and the United States. And what did you do in Moscow?
I worked at a school there for kids with special needs. The school was for expat kids from Canadian and British and American embassies.
So all in English?
It was all in English.
Yeah.
And you moved from Tampa, Florida to Moscow to take this job in Moscow at the U.S. consulate there. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And you were in Moscow for how many years?
3 years.
And then you chose to move to Hong Kong.
And then I moved to Hong Kong, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have told us that you work for the U.S. government, that you're maybe working for the CIA. Is that true?
That's a common rumor that we would be disguised as teachers and given jobs at a school. And yeah. That's
are you going to tell us we can't air this now? Or is there something?
No, but it's common. We do get, and they gave us diplomatic license plates for our cars and diplomatic passports. And
do you have diplomatic immunity in Hong Kong?
No, not in Hong Kong. No.
Anywhere in the world?
I did in Russia until I moved away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you could have gotten a lot of trouble in Russia.
And a lot of fist fights.
I think the most I could do is like park illegally. Right. Okay. Like, I don't think I could do like serious crimes.
Yeah. Great. Well, do you ever think about moving back to the United States?
Constantly. Yeah. Yeah. The thing I love about Wausau so far is like I don't stand out. I just walked around and mm-hmm. people are chatty and they're conversational and it's kind of the same thing. And and they're just nice. And like no one treats me or looks at me like I'm from another planet, which, it, you know, and I kind of stand out in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But on the train, I'm a little taller and a little lighter. And
do you eat and consume a lot of ginseng in Hong Kong? Because that's probably from Wausau, Wisconsin here.
It's really rare to find it. I heard it's a hard plant to grow. I don't know much about ginseng, but it's
a root. Yeah.
It's a root. Yeah. 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 See, I didn't know that.
Like ginger.
It's a very hard root to grow, which is why it's very climate driven. And Wausau, Wisconsin, Marathon County happens to be right in the Goldilocks zone, if you will. And that's why we produce so much of it in Wausau.
Number one in the world.
Yeah.
And number one importer into China of ginseng comes right here from Wausau, Wisconsin.
Incredible.
So have you ever consumed it?
I have. I've tried it before.
Is it in everything there or not? It's more of a delicacy.
I think it's more of a delicacy.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I would have to look for it. And if I did find it, I'm assuming it would be expensive. I see it sometimes in shops. It'll be displayed in the window. The giant roots will be displayed with some pride.
It's often used medicinally. As well, yeah. Yeah.
What's the population of Hong Kong? Like 11 million?
Yeah, it's weird. There's documented and undocumented. I think 11 or 12 million documented, and it's up to 20 or something undocumented.
So we had you in today to talk about your career a little bit, Rick. But really, what we'd like you to do, if you could, do us a favor and take a picture of some of that Sue's ginseng in Hong Kong. Can we put you on a mission? Because I know that you're good at missions, being in the CIA. Would you be able to find some... Don't kill me. Would you be able... He's doing something. I don't know. He's getting ready. All right. Would you be able to... Do you think you could find some ginseng grown in Wausau?
Be the first thing I do when I get back.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will put a WBS business sticker on the building somewhere near the ginseng, get a photo. Somewhere.
Okay. And
that'll cue other Americans, Wausauians, when they're in Hong Kong, where to find Sue's ginseng.
Will is constantly over in Hong Kong too, and he's from Wausau. And maybe you guys could, you know, get together and do it together. That would be cool.
Be great.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Rick Smith, everybody. Thanks, from Hong Kong. Thanks for coming to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. Rick.
Loving it.
Happy Yacht Rocktober, Paul.
Thank you. You too. Love me some Yacht Rock.
This was fun. Yacht Rocktober. So that's all we got for you this week, Wausau.
Did we do it again?
We did it again.
Okay.
Until episode number 63, next episode.
Can't wait.
From high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
I keep forgetting we're not in love anymore. I keep forgetting things will never be the same again. I keep forgetting how you made that so clear. I keep forgetting every time you're near.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. Allrights reserviert 2025.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.